Good to see you this morning. Thank God you're here. Thank God for the beautiful weather. I totally agree. So as we begin this morning, let's begin with prayer. Father, we do praise you for just another beautiful day through the weather that you've given us. Oh, we do thank you for that breeze that seems to at least sweep the gnats somewhere. Lord, we praise you today for all the opportunities that you've given us this week to see you work. We thank you for all the times this week that we did see you work. And Lord, we honor you this morning. Lord, we humble ourselves before you. Without you, we are nothing. And truth is, Father, there's probably been times this week we tried to go it alone. So we ask you to forgive us and come this morning and speak to us. I know you're already doing that, and I praise you for that. Lord, we're asking you to continue to do that. We trust you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, we continue a series that started a couple weeks ago entitled Resetting Your Life. And this is the third installment, if I believe that's correct. But this week, as we look at resetting your life, you know, something about resetting your life is that we have to be honest about something. That as we examine our own lives, as we examine our past, our present, and where God might be taking us, it requires us to be honest. And we have to be honest with ourselves, we have to be honest with God, we have to be honest with one another. And today, specifically, we're going to be looking at resetting your life and walking in faith. And we're going to be looking at the story of Abraham in just a moment. But I read a story this week about a guy that he had just installed a new spa at his house. And then when he went to get in it, the water was ice cold. And he realized that, hey, I paid a lot of money for a nice spa in my house, and I want warm water. So as he tried to figure out what was wrong, he had no success. So he called the company and they said, well, we'll send out a repairman, but I want you to know that regardless of what it costs or what he finds, he's going to charge you $85 just to come out. He said, well, I got to have warm water. I'm not sitting in a spa with cold water. So the repairman comes out and he says, now remember, no matter what I find, minimum $85. And the guy said, I agree to it. Just go take care of it. So the man lifts the lid under where the heater for the spa is, and he says, hey man, did you try the reset button to the heater? He said, no. He said, well, I'm going to push it and let's see what happens. So he pushed the reset button, the heater began to work, and he was going to have hot water. The repairman said, I told you, no matter what, I'm going to charge you $85. He said, you're right, I agree to it. Here's your $85. Thank you, because I want warm water in my new spa. Resetting our lives. Walking in faith, guys, let's be honest, we're going to have to pay a price. Now, it's not going to be for free, but we trust a God who loves us to walk with us and walk through this life with us. But at times, if we're not honest, then of course it's not going to cost us anything initially. So as we look at resetting your life, and we look at walking by faith, I want to ask you a few questions this morning to begin with. John? If life is a series of choices, then how do you feel about your choices that you've been making? How do you feel about the choices in your life at this time? John, you can just keep going through this one. What's the fruit of your choices? I'm sure there's been some outstanding fruit of your choices. I'm sure there's still some fruit that you're waiting to see what it looks like. And then there's probably been some fruit of your choices kind of like, not exactly what I had hoped for, not exactly what I had desired. So what's the fruit of your choices this morning? In reality, how well are your choices working in your life? You get a chance to choose every single day, all day long, don't you? You even get to choose simple little things, what you may or may not eat, what you may or may not do on the way to work, the words you use, the time you spend on the internet, what you view on the internet. Life is absolutely full of choices. But look at number four. Are your choices leading to the abundant life or the redundant life? I'm going to pause for effect. Are your choices leading to the abundant life or the redundant life? We live in a culture that is struggling with identity and purpose and hope and lack of joy like never before. And you can fill in more blanks. But there is a struggle in our culture today, and truth is it affects us as like never before. us as Christians, as us as the church, we struggle with that last one as much as anybody, no matter what they believe in. So how do you feel about your choices? What's the fruit of your choices? In reality, how well are your choices working? And are your choices leading to the abundant life or the redundant life? Let me be very blunt for a moment. Do you feel like if the day was 5 more minutes long, you wouldn't have the energy to make it the next 5 minutes? If you had one more bill show up in the mail, honest to goodness, you might consider robbing a bank. Okay? I want you to know something, that all the things that you have grown up hearing about God and His love for you and His plan for you and all the things you've heard in this body of Christ over the years that you've been with us, for some of you, those are truths. But today, I want your heart to be ready to see some seeds planted that produces an awesome harvest. And you have to be honest with yourself. And I'm not going to tell you anywhere in this sermon that things are going to be easy from this point forward. Because we're going to look at somebody by the name of Abraham who walked a long time on this earth. And it took day in and day out faithfulness to see God do awesome things in his life and through his life. So John, let's begin. We begin in Genesis 15, 1 through 6. This is the Lord's covenant promise to Abram. This is before he changed his name to Abraham. Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, "Do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you, and your reward will be great." But Abram replied, "O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all my wealth. You've given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir." Then the Lord said to him, "No, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir." Then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, "Look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have." And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. John? Then we go to Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 8 through 12. Chapter 11, the book of Hebrews, kind of like the chapter of the heroes of the faith chapter. But we pull out Abraham's story. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as an inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going, and even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith. For he was like a foreigner living in tents, and so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old. She believed that God would keep His promise, and so a whole nation came from this one man who was good as dead, a nation with so many people that like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, there was no way to count them. So we see in the first verses, Abram being spoken to by God as he was being called out of the land of Ur, of the Chaldeans, and God saying to Abram, which basically means excellent father or father exalted, saying, "I've got some great things for you." Do you know Abram was about, but not quite 75 years old? Now let's be honest, we know what happens in our culture about that time, okay? We're checking out the retirement. We've checked out the retirement. But here is Abram in this season of his life, and God says, "Hey, reset button. Got something awesome for you. Got something great for you." Second passage, we basically see God saying what He did through Abraham, which Abraham means father of many. So God not only changed his life, He actually changed his name to every single time. Think about this. Every single time someone said Abraham, he was reminded of God's promise. Every time. God took me from being a father of excellence or an exalted father to a father of many. And it was already late in life. So Abraham had to look at his life as a reset, but some things happened. God didn't just reset and say, "Abraham, just trust me and look at this awesome, easy, peaceful road we've got." Because the very first thing that Abraham encountered was this. He was under attack by physical enemies. God's Word says in chapter 14 of Genesis, that about 5 kings came against Abraham, and they had armies with them. Abraham didn't have a whole bunch of people, and Abraham really didn't know anything about fighting. So the first thing in Abraham's reset he saw was, I've got all these physical enemies coming against me. The next thing was, is Abraham was under attack by emotional enemies. First thing he says to God when he promises Abram these things is, but God, I'll never have a son of my own. I'm going to have to give basically all you've blessed me with to a servant. I want you to know something. Do you know that was embarrassing for Abram? That wasn't just good information. That was, but God, look at poor little old me. That was something that would not have been looked upon by his peers as, man, God is really blessing you, Abram. No, it would have been like, Abram, what have you done wrong that God can't even give you a son? So he was attacked by physical enemies, and he was attacked by emotional enemies. You struggle with doubt this week? You struggle with worry, anxiety? How well did you sleep this week? If there's one thing in our culture that I know we're never going to run out of, and that is sleeping aids. Because there is not a person I talk to during the week that ever tells me, man, I have slept so well the last 7 to 10 days. It's amazing. No? How well did you sleep this week? Good? Daniel slept good. That's probably because he's planning his wedding. But anyway, that's another story for another day. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about, but cheer up. You will. All right? It was a joke, though, so don't call Dusty or Rick or I later and say, is Daniel getting married, okay? Anyway, Abraham was under emotional enemies. Abraham probably had more questions than answers. God, in His Word, never says to Abram and then to Abraham, this is the outline for your life. He says, I need you to leave an area that is full, by the way, of idolatry. That land of the Chaldeans, that whole area, they worshipped every kind of demonic entity on the face of the earth at that time. So Abraham knew what it was like to worship, but he found the way to worship the one true living God. So Abraham probably had more questions than answers. Now, I know I'm not the only person in this room this morning that would agree with me and say, I'm just like Abraham. I have a lot of questions that I like to give God. And I don't always get answers immediately. I don't always get answers that I like. I don't always get answers that I understand. But I'm sure you have more questions than you have answers at times. But I want you to ask something today. Remember this. This is a cool story, but remember something. Abraham was all man. All man. Okay? So there's no difference in his struggles that he would have had all those thousands of years ago than you and I have every single day. God's asking you to do something, and I'm sure one of the first things he's thinking is, how could this possibly happen? He had questions, John. Abraham had experience, he had knowledge, and he had understanding. Abraham was a man of the world. He'd been around. He'd raised servants up. He had grown the flock, so to speak. He had all kinds of servants around him. The Bible tells us that God had blessed him with servants and also blessed him with livestock. So Abraham wasn't a rookie, okay? He knew that 1 + 1 = 2. He knew how things worked in the life, but he understood something about every one of these and more, just don't have time to go into all of them, is that when God called him, he had to push the reset button because there was no physical way that Abram could become Abraham and stay the way he was. Now, let me say it to you again. There was no way that Abram could become Abraham and stay the same way he was. His mind had to think differently. His heart had to accept and receive, which you're going to look at in just a moment, all that God had for him. He couldn't stay in the sea of doubt and bewilderment and worry and anxiety and sleepless nights and see him become Abraham that we read about for thousands of years. There was no way. He had to reset his life. He had to be something that he was not to that point. His first 75 years on life, Abram was getting the job done that Abram needed to do, but he had to get the job done that God wanted him to do, and he had to become Abraham. So there's something in your life today. There's at least one thing that God is saying, you can't stay the same way and experience all I have for you. I don't know what the one is, and it's probably more than one, by the way. But you cannot just stay the way you are and continue to be in the moment without saying, God's changing me. God's doing something. John, go ahead and go to the next. So God called Abraham, and Abraham by faith accepted the call. You see that in the Genesis 15 passage? It didn't just happen one time, but we're keeping it really, I want to keep it really, really simple, because a lot of Genesis, book of Genesis, by the way, is dedicated to Abraham and his story. We see at age 86, Sarah concocts a great plan and says, here, you can have my servant Hagar, and therefore that she gives birth to Ishmael. That's happened at 86, okay? And then at 99, age 99 is when God says, but you're going to have a son of your own. And then at 100, Sarah gives birth to that son, okay? And then Abraham lives all the way to 175. Wow. I agree, Daniel. Wow. And I'll be honest with you. I'll be straight honest with you, okay? At this very moment, I feel pretty good. I feel pretty good today. But there are some days that the thought of living to 175, I'm like, God, no, thank you. I'm looking, you know, if you could just 85 or 90, 95 maybe, you know, if I'm done making fun of everybody I need to make fun of, or I'm going to encourage everybody I need to encourage, all right, I'm good. But I give you those numbers to think about something. God called Abraham, and Abraham by faith accepted the call. It was a day-by-day process. Day-by-day. Day-by-day. 75, God says, just like the stars. 86, Abraham says, God, I've got it. No, you don't, Abraham. But Abraham in his grace and God in his grace and his mercy says, Abraham, settle. Listen, I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. And he does a miracle. At 100, he has a son named Isaac. So by faith, each day, each step of the way, he had a choice. Did he want to choose to believe? Or do you want to choose to doubt? John? I meant for that to come in together. Anyway, Billy Graham said, faith is taking the gospel in, works is taking the gospel out. Do you understand something? That Abraham, just like it says in the New Testament, he was saved by faith, not by works on his own so he could boast. What happened to Abraham when he took matters into his own mind, in his own hands? Ishmael came along. Faith is taking the gospel out. Taking it in. Works is taking it out. John, go ahead. God protected Abraham, and Abraham by faith remained under God's covering. We see that throughout Abraham's story, but first and foremost, he protects him from all those kings that wanted to take him out. Okay? We see him rescue Lot from Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay? And I guarantee you something. There was more than one time in the middle of that desert that people came against Abraham and his little band. Because the fact is he really didn't have a lot of people with him. He had a lot of things, a lot of stuff, but he didn't have some great army. Okay? And basically they weren't good fighters to begin with. So he had the few servants he had, I wouldn't have exactly entrusted them to protect my family. But by faith, God protected Abraham, and Abraham by faith remained under God's covering. Each day it was a choice. God, I trust you, I will rest in the shadow of the wing of the Almighty because I know you're the God who loves me. John, God provided for Abraham, and Abraham by faith has blessed many generations. You're sitting here, aren't you? Okay. Are the literal Jews of the world as numerous as the stars in the sky? Yes. And then let's add a few more universes of the stars in the sky and look at who's been grafted in his church. God provided for Abraham, and Abraham by faith has blessed many generations. In fact, the promise that God said to Abraham, he said, anybody who curses you, I'm going to curse. Anybody who blesses you, I'm going to bless. Okay? So we need to take real serious when you hear something in the news. If someone in our political regime says something about we don't have anything to do with Israel, that's real serious to God. Real serious. Very serious. Life or death serious. In fact, in the Old Testament, there's a lot of groups of people that we can't even pronounce their names correctly. They don't exist in history anymore. That's how serious God took it. He decided, I'm going to wipe you out. You're not going to have anybody. God provided for Abraham, and Abraham by faith has blessed many generations. Guys, when you look at your life, and we'll come to this a little bit later, but I'm going to say it right now while I'm thinking about it, is this, you know what you realize by walking by faith and resetting your life? But just remember this one, okay? It's not about you. It's about impact and influence. It's about seeing the work of God not through your hand only, but by your hand, and see how many people God touches and changes. John? By faith, Abraham considered God faithful, and God credited Abraham with righteousness. Just remember this. God says, I am crediting you with right standing before me because you believed that I would do what I said I would do. Yes, it wasn't perfect. Yes, an imperfect human being struggled with doubt and worry and anxiety, just like we do. But by faith, Abraham was considered faithful. That's why I challenge you today. God looks you eyeball to eyeball. Would he consider you faithful? I didn't say perfect. I said, would he consider you faithful? Because God credited Abraham with righteousness. And you know, one of the great things it says in Hebrews chapter 8, John, can you go back to that for me, please? Chapter 11. It says, look at this. It says, Abraham, verse 10, Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. You know what it doesn't say? Abraham was looking in the mirror saying, look at all the great things that I've done and accomplished. Look how smart I am. Look how well I raised my kids today. Look how well all the livestock follow me. He said, I am looking because I am created for the more. And I want you to know that is something that as Christians I think we struggle with a lot. Because sometimes when we say, I just feel like I'm missing something, then I encourage you to ask yourself, well, where have you been looking? Abraham was confident. In fact, there's a saying that says, living in tents, looking for a city. You're living in a tent. I'm living in a tent. Thank God one day this body's going to be a lot better than it is right now. And you should thank God too. Okay? God says one day we're going to get a city whose foundations are eternal. And it's going to be awesome. It's going to be really beyond description. It's going to be awesome. John, you can go back to that. Resetting your life. But what about resetting of your life and walking by faith? I got a very simple but serious question. I'm going to pause because I want you to think about it. What in your day-to-day life really requires faith? I'm asking you to think about it for a second. What in your day-to-day life requires faith? For most Americans, I believe that basically very little to nothing. It doesn't take much faith to live through the routine of life. It just really doesn't. God is building us for the more. I don't know what the more is for you today. Number one, John, choose to walk by faith, believing God is faithful. You know, if you don't believe anything other than that God is faithful to you, then I want you to understand you sit today in the presence, not me, in the presence of a living, loving, merciful God. And today, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that means His faithfulness says, I'm going to give you another day. I'm going to give you one more day. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond. Choose to walk by faith, believing God is faithful. You know what happens when we do that, even in the routine of life? Alarm clock goes off, you eat breakfast, you make it through another morning without strangling a child, or without killing a spouse, or any of that kind of good stuff, is this. You say, God, where are you in the routine? God, where are you in the routine? Freshen it up a little bit. John, choose to walk by faith, trusting God's plan. There are some of you in this room that sometime in your past, God spoke something very clearly to you. Now, I don't know what it is. I'm not going to pretend to know what it is. But just like Abram, God said, I got something for you, but I need you to be faithful with the little, so I can bless you with more and become Abraham. But somehow, some way, something detoured you. It was a reset in life, but it wasn't necessarily, it may have not been convenient. It may have not been easy. It may have not been fun. But there was a reset along the way. And there's probably been multiple resets. And somehow or another, God's plan, God's call, kind of just got shuffled to the side. Got put down in the category of, I can't see how that's going to happen. And God says, let's stir it up again. Let's put me number one. And let's see what happens. Because God didn't forget. God didn't change. God didn't steal, kill, or destroy it. God's been using all of your experiences. God's been using the bad news and the good news. Because He's sovereign over all of it, isn't it? Do you believe He's faithful? I mean, really, do you really believe He's faithful today? I don't know, do you? When you read the news, do you think, ah, God, where were you? Yes, I was right there. Choose to walk by faith, believing God is faithful. Choose to walk by faith, trusting God's plan. Choose to walk by faith by not having a plan B. Don't we see that in Abraham's life? Okay? We see a plan B. Oh, my Lord, we could spend a long time philosophizing how different the world would be if Ishmael hadn't been born. A long time philosophizing. What would happen if Abram had said, God, I'm going to wait and see how you work this out. I don't know how. I'm 75, but I'm going to wait and see. But he didn't. He went with plan B. But even God in His mercy, I mean, that's mercy. It says, Abraham, you're a father of many. Choose to walk by faith by not having a plan B. John, choose to walk by faith saying, yes, Lord. Say, yes, Lord. Is it that simple? It's that simple to say, not always easy, that easy to execute, is it? It's easy to say, whatever you got for me, God, I'm all in. And then the next day comes, sun comes up, life hits, anxiety, worry, doubt, fear. The world, the flesh, and the devil comes like, oh, wait a second, hold on now. I'm not really sure how this is going to happen. I'm not really sure how this is going to work out. See point number one. Is your faith a reality in your own life? And John, I have one more. No? Choose to walk by faith by letting God say when He is finished. What did I tell you earlier? You're sitting here, aren't you? You're sitting here, aren't you? Then He's not finished. He is not finished. He gets to say when He is finished. Not you, not I, not we. And I believe that that sometimes is a struggle for some of us, for some Christians. God, I've done all I'm going to do. And God says, really? Did I say that? Did I say that? All those apply every single day to our lives because we are human beings. We are all men and women. And we all have flesh struggles. And we all have live in a world that absolutely wants us to reset our lives and prioritize our lives according to its standards and its way. But I would encourage you today to live and walk under a fresh anointing of God in your life. What about resetting your life and walking by faith? Look at those. And look at them very, very closely. I don't know why completely God chose Abram to become Abraham. I don't know why completely. Because he wasn't the only son. Okay? But there was something about Abraham that God said, he's it. He's it. Now, probably in this room, of course, Luke's name was in the paper today, and Ryan's paper name was in the paper today under the sports section for baseball. Okay? But probably for most of us, we may never make it big time, okay? All right? But why diminish what the power of God can do in our lives by saying, I'm going to live according to what I want to do versus saying, I'm going to live according to what God wants me to do? And that's not something in the future. That's something that becomes a reality now. Some of you have lived through numerous resets in your life. I know you have, okay? But God's even going to use those. He's going to use those. That's part of your awesome story, your awesome testimony, that God's going to use it and watch the impact on people's lives. Because that's the kind of God that brought Abram to be Abraham. Okay? So I want you to look at those while I tell you a story, a true story, a personal story. Houston, we got a problem. Okay? Now listen, I'm just going to give you the highlights. All right? So pay attention. December 16th, 2015. Kelly was working at Gulfstream. She sent me a text that morning. She said, officially unemployed. Crap. I was hoping for I love you. That morning, I didn't need a I forgive you. That morning. Officially unemployed, huh? Now, I know that probably most of you believe that Kathy and I have a lot of servants and we live in a castle and, you know, we have so much money, we're trying to figure out what to do with it. But that's just not true, okay? Unless Kathy's holding something back from me. Anyway, December 16, 2015, Kathy sends me that message. She had, in the big Gulfstream layoff, she was one of the casualties. Dusty and I were out doing something. She sent me that text. I said, well, Kathy lost her job. I said, really? He prayed for us as we were driving down the road. Where we went next was important to the story. I'm looking to see if Russell and Lynn are here. Okay. Dusty and I went to visit Deborah, their daughter, who was in hospice. She passed away a few days later, and I'm sitting there in that room, literally sitting in that room, and I'm looking at her, and I'm looking at her husband. And I'm thinking about Kathy saying, I don't have a job. I was laying, man, God. There's two resets like that. Okay? And I'm sitting there, and here are literally my thoughts. I'll take this chair today over his chair today. Okay? Because that was a man that's heart was hurting. As he was literally watching his wife pass on to be with the Lord. Okay? So I get home, and I remember walking through the door, and I said, Kathy, you're going to have to give me a crazy pill because I am more excited at this moment than I've been in a long time. And she's kind of weeping and stuff. And I said, I don't even know why. Okay. But I just know I'm so excited that words I can't hardly tell you because I don't know why. I didn't even know why then. And here's a few results of that day, December 16th, 2015. One, God said, Dane, you don't have to pray that I give Kathy a job. I've got that. What I just need you to do is pray about which job that I have for and to seek all that. Okay? He said, but Dane, I want you to do something for me. I want you to put everything out on the table, and we're going to have to talk about some things through this season. There's some things that you and I need to have been talking about for a while, and it's time for a reset. About February the 5th or 8th, Kathy began her new job at Optum Healthcare. We praise God for that job. Okay. Sometimes when God resets your life and you're walking in it and you're saying, God, I gotta have the faith just to make it one more day. Sometimes, you know what? Sometimes that's the way you got to start every day for a while maybe. God, I just need the faith to make it one more day. But listen. God says, I'm not finished talking to you. So, okay, God, we got a job. Praise God. You know, he said, I need to talk to you about something else. One of the things on the table. So, okay, God, we talked about some more things. A couple of weeks went by. I had lunch with a guy I was at where I used to work at the hospital with. And St. Joseph's, that's right, Daniel. Daniel doesn't ever forget anything like that. Okay. He said, why don't you come back to work? I said, nah, I said, I can't do that. And he says, well, what would it take financially for you to come back? And so he slid me a little number across the table. Now, you need to know something about this story. I've known him now since 1991. He's the guy that hired me. He's told me the same story every year since I've been gone from the hospital. He's told me the same story, except this time he had moved into a position to actually do what he said. Meaning before it was just, I hope. Now it was, I can make this happen. I had it on the piece of napkin. I went home, it was a Thursday. I said, Kathy, I want you to look at this. I said, I want you to see the number that Mike wrote down. Remember that thing I told you that we don't have servants and we don't live in a cash pile? And you know, I think all of y'all can relate to that pretty much, okay? I said, Kathy, that'd be 40% more. Like that. So I said, Kathy, you and I are going to pray about this through the weekend. We're not going to tell anybody. No one knows. Okay? In fact, most of you don't even know about it until I'm just not telling you about it. So Can I pray through the weekend? One of the things I said to God over that weekend, do you remember I told you about God has a plan, that God, there's dreams, there's hopes, there's things that happen that maybe you just kind of shoved to the side? Okay. Over that weekend, something came to mind that I hadn't talked to God about in a long time. And I said, God, I remember when I was a young boy that I always kind of wanted to go to Africa and see what happened over there. I like that. I think I'm drawn to that. I think that'd be really cool. Whatever happened to that, God? I want you to know something. I didn't hear anything. Okay? I would love to tell you some great response that God and I sat down. We had this long, hard time. Truth is, I didn't hear anything. Okay? I'm going to shorten the story a little bit to you now. Kelly and I continued to pray. Pray with Dusty. Said, no, this is where God's got us. We're not going. I'm not leaving to go back to hospital. 2 weeks later, Doug Dorman calls me. He said, hey, you want to go to Zambia with me? I said, man, I'm all in. He said, but listen to this. Remember that choose to walk by faith, believing God is faithful. He has a plan, no plan B. He said, but then listen, here's how it came to be. He said, a few weeks ago, I was in India teaching my material. And he said, I got to thinking about Africa again. And he says that the gentleman that we're going to go with are their missionary couple, Ken and Karen Buckner. And he said, when I came back to the United States, I had rewritten my material because I tried to go to Zambia last year, and Ken said, your stuff won't work over here, Doug. And so while he was in India, he felt like God was telling him to rewrite his material. And so he rewrote his material, and he came home, and he sat down with his wife, Joan. He said, Joan, I think I'm supposed to investigate the Zambia thing again. He said, but this time, I'm not going to contact Ken Buckner. He's going to have to contact me, but we're going to pray about it, okay? He said, within 48 hours, Ken Buckner sent him a text message and said, Doug, are you in the country? I'm in the country. I want to talk to you about coming back to Zambia, okay? So Doug sends you his material. Ken says, that's perfect. That'll work this time, Doug. Do you understand all the nuances of that story? Because one of the struggles about our lives and walking by faith is we see so often events as individual circumstances. And that's not God. God can use the individual circumstances, but He sees everything. Everything. So on July the 17th, if it all continues to work out, okay, I'll be leaving for Zambia with a few more people to go there and train pastors, is what we're going to do, and do VBS. But you see how God starts to unfold all that? Now, I want you to know something. The thing that excites me the most is this. God hasn't said, I'm finished. I want that to excite you today. Did you still draw a breath just a moment ago? Is your heart still beating? The number of five does not apply to you today. He is not finished. I don't know what He's got, but He's not finished. So how is God resetting your life? How is He asking you to walk by faith? I don't know. But we're going to open the altar and see if God's been speaking to you about something today you want to pray with Dusty, Rick, or I about. That time is for you. I challenge you with something. Enjoy the struggle. Enjoy the struggle. Enjoy the struggle. At 75, God promised him. At 86, he went to plan B and God said, mm-mm. At 100, he gave birth to Isaac. And he drew his last breath, the Bible says, at 175. That's awesome. That's awesome. Let's pray. Father, your goodness knows no boundaries. Your faithfulness is more than can be described by human words. You're awesome in this place, and we praise you and we lift you up to be exalted amongst a country, a culture, a world that just says it wants to do its own thing. Well, God, I would pray today that you would help us not to contribute to doing our own thing. By the power of the Holy Spirit, encourage us, lift us up, infuse our faith. Lord, truth is that we struggle with doubts and worries. We struggle with how can God do something He says He's going to do. Lord, we just struggle with that. Lord, I'm asking you to help us overcome. We bless you, we honor you, we give you this time, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar is open. You can be filling out your prayer cards. In just a moment, I'll ask you to bring them forward. I'm going to pray you out. Enjoy the beautiful weather. But please remember Carol and Stephanie Schofield this afternoon. Their father passed away. 3:00 is the funeral. Okay, let's pray. Father, we celebrate you. You're so faithful. You're so good. You're so loving. You're so kind. Lord, thank you for one more day. Thank you, Father, that you love us. Now, Lord, as we go, help us to make sure that you're number one. In Jesus' name, amen.